last-minute instructions out. Now I need Emperor Augustus. Come here, Emperor. Yep, you're going to be the Emperor Augustus. And I'm going to put the Emperor in an Emperor's chair. There you go. Okay. All right. Narrator one, away you go.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all
I'm
going
to get you to start that again, okay? Nice and slow. Okay, good.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the Roman world should be registered. Everybody went to their hometown to be registered.
Wait. Now, I need a Joseph and Mary. Sit here. Who's going to be, you want to be Mary? Okay, you can come on up, Mary. Hey, you going to be Joseph? Come up, sit in the chair. Come on up and sit in the chair. Sit beside Mary. You look the part. Look good, you know, do the part. All right, Michelle, away you go.
Okay. So Joseph.
Wait a minute. You guys got to get on the ball. This has got to roll. The clock's ticking. You wanted us to run over time today? All right. Try it again there, Michelle.
So Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the city of David, because he belongs to the house and family of David. Now Joseph went to be registered with Mary because they were engaged and expecting a baby.
While they were there, the time came for Mary.
Glory to God.
Wake up!
To deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there is no room for Joseph.
Madeline.
Or Mary.
Madeline, read that part about Joseph again. Because she laid him in a manger. Read it from there, because he didn't do that very well.
While they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for Joseph. Or Mary, or their new baby.
Oh, we're going to sing. Messed it up, so we're going to sing the next one, which is Away in a Manger. Because they've got the manger out already, we can't do that. Shepherds in a minute, so I need a shepherd. Jonah, you want to be a shepherd? Well, you could be a shepherd right there. Yeah, okay, because you know the shepherd's part, okay? Yeah, you'll be a shepherd right there. I know they're all hiding on me, so that's fine. Narrator 2.
And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch of their sheep by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Oh, you're right on top of that. I like that.
And suddenly there were more angels. In fact, there was a multitude of angels.
Okay, everybody's an angel for that one. Read that again. There was how many? There was a...
In fact, there was a multitude of angels.
There we go. Very good.
And all of these angels were praising God together. They were saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill to all."
To heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So the shepherds and their sheep went quickly and found Mary.
Mary, wake up. I know it's been a tough night.
And Joseph. And the baby Jesus lying in the manger.
After seeing him, they shared what they had been told about this baby.
Baby's asleep too, I think.
Everyone was amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds and their sheep returned home, glorifying and praising God because what they had heard and seen was just like they had been told.
You could be a wise man. Come on up here. That's okay. You can go. Just go stand beside Herod there for a minute, because you're going to talk to him. Okay? All right, we got a wise guy, a wise man. Sorry.
Who came from the east? The wise men met with King Herod and asked, "Where's the child who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and we have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard that the baby would be a king, he did not like that one bit. So he came up with a plan. He met with the wise men and said to them,
"Go to Bethlehem and find the child, and come back and tell me where he is so that I may also go and worship him."
But his real plan was to kill him. So the wise men left Herod. They set out and followed the star until it stopped over the place where the child was, and they were overwhelmed with joy.
When they entered the house, the wise men saw the child with Mary.
Oh, I've got to do this again. You're losing interest, folks. Come on. Maybe it's your delivery. No, it's not her fault at all. It's yours. Okay, try that again, narrator two.
When they entered the house, the wise men
better
saw the child with Mary. They knelt down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And because they had been warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
It's going to be crowded, but you'll do it.
All these things happened long ago, but each year at Christmas time, we remember what happened in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. We remember that Jesus is the most important part of God's big story, and we remember that we are all a part of God's big story too. That is definitely something worth sharing with other people.
Up here very much. Sit down now. And thank you, our narrators. You did a very good job this morning. And thank you, everybody, for participating so willfully or so in that. I want to close this off, this fun time that we've had, and doing this a little bit different on this Sunday. That we're remembering the candle of love. And let me move up here. We're remembering the candle of love today, and this love that God has given to us. And it was important that we also read from Mary in the Magnificat. Christmas is a time of year when we see a slew of movies and TV shows and music and all sorts of things, and they have one theme, of course, it's Christmas. Everything from It's a Wonderful Life to A Charlie Brown Christmas to Elf to The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, all kinds of stories, and all kinds of music, some controversial these days, some not. Each December, there's a list of shows and movies and music that many people simply need to see and listen to feel that it's really Christmas. But while these all may be great stories, they're not the story that we heard this morning. And we did it in a fun way, again, hoping to encourage our children and teach them in the ways that are exciting. And the story is a wonderful and exciting time. Because in the midst of all the more modern Christmas stories, we have this original story, the one that in that real way gave birth to all of the others, the story that, again, we've just told and we sang about. On this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we have the story of a key player in the birth of Jesus, someone who had to be on board with everything that was about to happen. We read about her this morning. Someone whose love would change everything, Mary. And that's why today, in one sense, we think about this fourth candle, the candle of love. It's the love that Mary had, the love that Elizabeth had, the love that Joseph had. Most every year at this time, we read from the lectionary this section called the Magnificat. And it's that passage of Scripture that tells us how Mary responded to the unexpected and confusing news that she was going to have a baby. I want to read that song of praise one more time. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Magnify is an odd term in this context, but it's easy to think of it maybe more like this. To magnify God is to live your life in a way that makes God's love for the world even bigger and even more obvious to the people who surround us. That's what the season's about in that sense. Showing the love of God in any way we can. We did that today having some fun. We did that with sharing mittens. We've done it over the last 3 or 4 weeks in different real ways. And in a real way to choose to magnify God, especially in times when we're asked to respond to a new challenge or a new reality that we may face in our lives, it has a lot to how we live with love. And if anyone could understand what it means to respond to God in the midst of the unexpected, it certainly was Mary. She's faced with the end of life as she knew it, and she responds by saying she's going to rejoice and make God's love known to the world. Mary's situation was a little more dire than most of ours, maybe, and she was the first person who was asked to respond to that Christmas story, but she wasn't the last. Because though we are called to participate in the Christmas story, as you all did today, we are called in many different ways than Mary was. We are invited to the story nonetheless. And that's because at Christmas time, if we're going to be part of this Christmas story, we are called to make a hard choice to love. I don't use that phrase, hard choice, lightly. I use it because loving this world and loving one another requires something from each and every one of us. It requires us to give of ourselves. And most of all, Love requires us, God's love requires us to be willing to be changed, changed for His sake, always. I want to read one more time that scripture I read from when I was here at the Mitten Tree. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God and we receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us. Amen. Thank you again, everybody, for participating, and all you boys and girls, too. The shepherds that stayed in their seats. God does not desire us to bring burnt offerings, as we read in Hebrews, or sin offerings, but instead He asks that we do God's will. So now we bring our offerings of our lives and our labors, and with prayer that God's will may be done through them.